the person next to you and ask them, are you alive this morning?
Are you alive this morning?
And give them, are you alive this morning? And if they're not, then give them a bit of a nudge or a pinch. Gently, love, let it not be known by it that I instructed violence in the congregation. Okay. I have been told that the last time I shared a joke, that only Uncle Hawk and perhaps Sister Sandra understood it. So I will attempt, if you're still wondering about the joke, you can ask Uncle Hawk and he will happily debunk the mystery for you. Yep, after the service. All right, here we go. A boy asks his father at the dinner table. So we're sitting around at the dinner table, and the son looks at his father and he says, Dad, are bugs good to eat? And then the father looks at the son, he says, that's disgusting. Don't talk about bugs at the dinner table. Okay, so they continue eating. After dinner, the dad comes around to the son and he says, son, what were you talking about bugs again? What were you going to ask me again? And the son said, oh, nothing. But there was a bug in your soup, but it's gone now. Okay, that feels a bit better. All right. This morning, we are going to be talking about how we can experience transformation. Say with me, transformation.
Transformation
by the renewing of our mind. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. We say it all the time, but we're going to say it again. Can we have it tied up for us? In a moment. Okay, never mind. I will say it off my heart. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we say this verse all the time. Pastor Mason always tells us, have you done your numbers, your daily numbers? Which is, have you presented yourself? Have you lifted up your hands, looked up in the morning and said, God, I give you myself. I present my body as a living sacrifice to you this morning. Use me today. Think through my mind. Speak through my lips. Use me today however you want me. However you want to use me. Alright? So, verse 2. We're going to spend most of our time, though, focusing our attention on verse 2. Alright? So, step number 1. Alright? We must present our bodies. Okay? We got that? We're going to do step number 2 now, which is... Can you flip the slide for me or put it on presentation mode? Yep. Thank you.
A bit too excited.
Alright, second verse. And we're looking over here. And do not be conformed to this world. So don't be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed.
Right.
Do not be conformed, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind. That we may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So here is the answer. If we want to be transformed, we have to be transformed first by the renewing of our mind. And why do we want to be transformed? We covered this before. Galatians 4 tells us that Christ has to be formed in us. Previously, I shared about, you know, the pressed penny. When Jesus looks at us, he wants to see his image reflected on us. Right? That Jesus, he sees himself. We are made in the image and in the likeness of God, but that doesn't mean that we don't have any work to do. We got some work to do to get there, because we're not there yet, right? Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I like to say, so is he, or so he becomes. So he eventually becomes. Whatever we think in our hearts and in our minds is very important, because it is eventually what we become.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's go with that. Let's read another couple of verses. Philippians chapter 4. Finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right, whatever is confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure, whatever is wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, carry on, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think think continually on these things. That means I must center my mind on these things. I must implant them into my heart. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is worthy of respect, whatever is right, whatever is confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure, wholesome, lovely, brings peace, admirable, good repute, excellent, worthy of praise, I must center my mind on these things and I must implant them into my heart. Why? Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he or so becomes. So if I want to be excellent, if I want to be to the glory of His praise, which God has called us to, if I want to be worthy of respect or all of these things, I have to think these things. I have to center my mind on these things, and I must implant these truths into my heart. All right?
Yeah.
The last, second verse. Amos chapter 3 verse 3. How can two walk together unless they are agreed? If we want to walk with God, if we want to be like Jesus, we have to agree with what He says. We have to agree with what He says about us. We have to agree with what He sees about us. Right? So I cannot afford to let myself or my mind think thoughts that are not God's thoughts for me. It's bad, it's dangerous, and it is harmful to me. Have you seen those movie scenes, you know, maybe cartoons or, you know, like where there's like the person is about to do something and then all of a sudden like an evil character or like a devil or something is like next to them and all they do is they whisper into that person, and then that person says the thing that is being whispered to them or does the thing that's being whispered to them, right? That's exactly how Satan is, right? The entrance point to us, right, is through our mind, and that's literally what happens. It just whispers a thought, and then we think the thought, and then we do the thing, right? You can't do something unless you have first thought it, right? Murder doesn't just happen, right? That's why when you go to the court, what they like to prove is intent, because it was premeditated, right? That's what they're trying to prove, that it was something that was meditated, it wasn't accidental, it wasn't self-defense, it was premeditated, right? So nothing happens unless we first think it. All right? Satan goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the way he does that is through the entrance point, coming into your mind, into my mind, filling it with negative thoughts or thoughts that are not from God. What are some of those negative thoughts? Any idea? Can be really simple thought. It doesn't have to be very complex or elaborate, right? It's usually very, very simple thoughts. Thoughts like, I can't do this. I'll never make it. I'm not good enough. I'll never be good enough. I'm not smart. You see, these are thoughts. Very simple thoughts, but they are negative thoughts. It's not what God says about me, but they are very simple thoughts. One thought that I think, if I continue to think that thought, will hold me captive and will stop me from achieving the destiny that God has for me. All right, here's some other negative thoughts. I'll never be healed. Yeah, that's another thought. He'll never change. She'll never change. That's also a thought. That's just the way it is. Doesn't mean it has to be. That's a thought. Oh, I can never achieve this. Nobody loves me. I'm all alone. No one cares about me. Those are thoughts too. Yeah. Right? Simple thoughts. Yeah. Right? Now, where will those thoughts lead me?
Destruction.
Oh, I got right there. Alright. So if I think those thoughts, thank you very much for your participation and contribution. If I think those thoughts, then I'm going to feel a certain way, right? So if I think, oh, I'm all alone, nobody cares about me, nobody likes me, everybody hates me, then what am I going to feel? I'm going to feel sad, depressed, lonely. All right, can you see where this is leading to? All right, and then what's going to happen? Some people don't respond. And then, so if I feel this way, then what am I going to do? I'm going to continue to isolate myself. I'm not going to talk to anybody. Because what? I thought no, nobody likes me, no one cares about me. And then I'm going to feel sad, depressed. Can you see I'm just wallowing, you know? And it's just getting worse and worse. And this is what happens. It's spiraling downwards, right? And then, I'm just, you know, man, that's just how it is. No. Okay, so that's just one train of thought, right? Could be another thing. I'll never get healed. Oh, this pain keeps coming back. Then what? I'm going to feel what? Hopeless. Yeah, Jesus doesn't answer my prayers. You know, can you see how this is? And then it just keeps spiraling downwards. Right? Oh, Jesus can't do this for me. Okay? Right? Those are really negative but simple thoughts. One thought. So it's really important to know what thoughts we're thinking and to think the right thoughts. How do you know what thoughts you're thinking? Question out for you. How do you know what thoughts you're thinking?
This is interactive. By the way,
your actions could be, yeah, okay. What's another way that you can know? How do you know what thoughts you're actually thinking?
Your words,
very good. All right. So some of you are looking at me like, oh, I know what thoughts I'm thinking because I'm thinking them. But sometimes you don't know what thoughts you actually think. The way that you absolutely know what you are thinking is the words that you say. Listen to what comes out of your mouth, right? That will tell you what thoughts you're actually thinking. Because you might deny it and say, no, I don't think those thoughts. But then you say something, it's just like, oh, that's what I actually think, right? A negative thing may come out of your mouth. And if that comes out of your mouth, chances are that's what you're actually thinking. Because you have to think it before you say it. You have to think it before you do it. Yeah? All right. So I have to know the thoughts that I'm thinking, and I have to align myself with what God thinks for me, because if I do anything else, I'm on the path to destruction.
Wow.
The path to destruction. And I don't want to be on the path to destruction. Okay. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 5. We all know this. 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to look at Naaman. Naaman had a thought. Alright, Naaman had a thought, and his thought wasn't exactly in line with what God said. 2 Kings chapter 5, and I'm just going to read very quickly. So now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, verse 1, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. But he was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. So Naaman was in a bit of a fickle here, right? He's a great commander-in-chief, but he's a leper, all right? So you don't really have a great destiny when you become a leper, right? So the Syrians had gone out on raids and brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. So she's like a servant girl in Naaman's household. Verse 3, then she said to her mistress, if only my master Naaman were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he, the prophet, would heal him, Naaman, of his leprosy. So Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. Verse 5, then the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send the letter to the king of Israel. So he departed with him, took 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and then 10 changes of clothing. And then he brought the letter to the king of Israel. So the king of Israel receives this letter, and the king goes, what do you mean? Do you think I can heal Naaman? No, what's that about? All right, verse 7, and it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive this man? Sends this man Naaman to me to heal him of his leprosy? Verse 8, so it was when Elisha the man of God heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes that he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me and let him and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman goes off and he sees this prophet, Elisha. All right. Now, let's go verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, so Naaman now arrives at Elisha's house, horse and chariot and all this. He's the commander in the army, right? And he is thinking to himself, this great prophet, this great man of God is going to come out. He's going to lay his hands on me and God is going to heal me and all of it's going to be good. So, now he stands at the door of Elisha's house. Ding dong. Okay, maybe they didn't have that in those days. Verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean. So Elisha didn't even go to the door. Elisha sent a messenger to go to the door and say, my master says that this is what you shall do. Right? And so Naaman receives the message not from Elisha the prophet, the man of God himself, but through a messenger. Now, verse 11. But Naaman became furious, and he went away, and he said, indeed, I said to myself. So Naaman thought this to himself, which is, he will surely come out to me because of who I am. I am the commander in chief. He will come out to me, and he will stand, and he will call on the name of the Lord, and he will wave his hand over me. And then his magic will happen. And then I will be healed of this leprosy. So Naaman had this thought that God will work in this way in my life. Sometimes we box God in and say, God will do this for me by this time, in this way, through this mechanism or whatever it is. And we limit God and we say, And then we get upset when God doesn't work the way that we want him to, or the way that we plan, or the way that, you know, our minds think. And we get very upset, we get worked up even. Naaman was furious. Naaman was furious because Elisha didn't follow the plan. He didn't read. He obviously didn't read the letter or the memo. He didn't get the memo. Naaman boxed God in with his thoughts. He said to himself, all right? Now, here's the challenge. So, then the servant said to him, come on, Naaman. If Elisha had asked you to do a difficult thing, you would have done it, right? But he's asking you to do a really, really simple thing. So why can't you just do it? Just do it. So the Naaman had to humble himself. He had to change his mindset. He had to change his thought. And then, only then, he was able to receive his miracle. Amen. Back to the slide. Thank you. So one thought can hold us captive. One thought can stop us from receiving our miracle. Right? So it's very important what thoughts we're thinking. So that thought, that Naaman thought, God is going to work this way. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. And then I'm going to be healed. Almost stopped him from being healed from leprosy. All right, contrast this with the woman with the issue of blood. Now, Matthew chapter 9, we're not going to turn there, but the woman with the issue of blood also had a thought. And her thought was, her one thought was, if only I may touch his garment, if I touch his garment, I know I will be made well. And you know what Jesus' response to her was? According to your faith has made you whole. The thought that you had, the faith that you had when you reached down and you touched me, that faith, which then became action, was what has healed you. Your faith has made you whole. One thought is all it takes. Amen? Yeah. One thought. So what thoughts are we thinking this morning? All right. Let's go here. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us there's all these pieces of kit that we have to put on every single day. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God. So we have here, what do we have? We have the helmet. We have the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the spirit, the shield of faith, the belt of truth. We have the gospel shoes of peace. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, right? So we must put on the whole armor of God, every piece. And it starts off with the helmet of salvation. I have to cover my mind with the helmet of salvation. What does that mean? I have to cover my mind with redemptive truth. What is redemptive truth? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I have to cover my mind and continually think. I have to implant these thoughts into my mind. thoughts about salvation, thoughts about redemption, thoughts about God's thoughts towards me. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. This isn't in my PowerPoint. Ephesians chapter 1. And if you haven't already done this in your Bible, pull out your highlighters and we're going to read from verse 3. All right, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Highlight that, blessed us. So he has blessed me with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So number one, he has
blessed
me. All right, he has blessed me. Blessed us. Okay. Just as he
chose
us. All right, so number one, he has blessed us. He has
chosen
us. All right, okay. So I must fill my mind with these thoughts. He has blessed me. Not he will bless me. Not he might bless me. Not, but he has blessed me already.
Okay.
He has chosen me already. Not he might choose me. Right? He has chosen me. Right? I must fill my mind with these thoughts. He has blessed us. He has chosen me. All right, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, before time began, before time as we know it, as a dimension began, God blessed me and he chose me. He chose me. Me. He chose me. He chose you. Before time, that's like mind-blowing. He chose you, right? All right, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, right? We just talked about 2 Peter, how he has called us to be, set us apart to be a royal priesthood, holy, right? Without blame before him in love. Verse 5, having what?
Predestined
us, highlight that. So he blessed us. He
chose us.
Thank you. Next one, he predestined us. All right. So he blessed me. He chose me. He predestined me to be adopted as sons and daughters by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So he predestined before time began, as we know it, he blessed me, he chose me, and he predestined me. It was already in his plan for me to be adopted into his family. He wanted me so much that he sent his son Jesus so that he could make a way for me to be a part of his family. The God who spoke the universe into being, right? We covered that in Genesis 1. He spoke and it was. The great God of the universe who spoke the world into being and holds the universe by the word of his power chose me to be part of his family before time began.
Yeah.
That is a redemptive truth that I must fill my mind with that.
Yeah.
And if I fill my mind with that thought, there's no room for me to question God's intentions for me. Because if he chose me before time began, I cannot question the things that I'm going through because I know that God's plans for me are good. Because he wanted me before time began, before the foundation of the world, he wanted me. He went to great lengths to have me be part of his family. How can I stand here and question God's love for me when he has already done everything to make me part of his family? That is a redemptive truth and that is a redemptive reality. I must cover my mind and think this way because this is what God thinks about me. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right, verse 6. To the praise of his glory, of his grace, which he made us what?
Accepted
in the beloved. All right, stop thinking nobody cares about me, nobody loves me, no one's called me, no one liked my post on Facebook. All right. Sorry, that's maybe a younger generation sort of thing. All right. Nobody responded to my WhatsApp message. No, nobody cares about me. What? No! He made us accepted in the beloved.
Yeah.
You are accepted. I am accepted.
Yeah.
I'm accepted into his family. I don't have to prove myself. I don't have to look for acceptance from anyone. I don't have to be validated by anyone because God, the God of the universe, validates me.
Yeah.
The God of the universe universe accepts me, he has chosen me, he has blessed me, he has predestined me, and he has made me to be accepted into his family. I am like part of the family now.
Yeah.
I don't have to do anything. I don't have to strive. I don't have to wait for people to tell me this, because God has already told me this.
Yeah.
It's in his scripture. I must fill my mind with this truth. All right? The devil likes to put thoughts in our minds to get us to doubt these things, to get us to feel discouraged. Remember, we covered this in Strengthen Yourself in the Lord, right? The top three things that Satan will try to do to stop us from achieving our destiny is to get us discouraged, get us to blame God. And I can't remember the last one, but those two are pretty good. All right? If we can spend our lives blaming God or getting discouraged, then we'll never achieve what God has for us to do. And that's how Satan operates. He comes to steal your joy, kill you, destroy you, make you think that you are not worthy, that you're not worth it, make you think that you can't do it, make you think all these things that are not true. Amen?
Yeah.
It's important to know what God thinks about us, and it's important for me to fill my mind with what God says about me. Not what anybody else says about me, what God says about me. That's all I care about, what God says about me, and this is what God says about me. I am blessed. I am chosen. I'm predestined.
Yeah.
I've been accepted into his family.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Okay. In him we have redemption through his blood. Verse 7. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 9. Having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are in earth, in him. In him, verse 11, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So according to the counsel of his will, he works all things for me.
Yeah.
Mm. Amen?
Yeah.
All things for me. Verse 12, that we who first trusted in Christ should be what?
To the
praise of his glory. I was blessed. I was chosen. I was predestined to be adopted into his family. I've been accepted so that I might be to the praise of his glory. The predestined destiny that God has will always end with this, that I might be to the praise of his glory, that I might make my Father God proud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When other people see his image in me, and when they say, well, you look like your father, you act like your father, that I might be to the praise of his glory with everything that I am achieving the full destiny that God has for me, because I am thinking these thoughts. I know what God says about me. There's no doubt in my mind. There is no question. I'm not going to let the devil pull me down with negative thoughts that are not from God. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. So Colossians chapter 1, back to the slides now. We talked about center my mind on these things, right? I must implant them into my heart. I must be grounded. I must be steadfast. What's steadfast?
Holding strong.
I like that. Sandra, what do you say?
Endurance.
I like it. Endurance. Holding strong. I'm not easily shaken or moved. So somebody could say something to me, something nasty, something mean, something not nice, or something hurtful even. Hurtful, cutting, whatever you can think of. I'm just using all those descriptive words. Somebody could say something to me, right? And if I am not steadfast, I'm going to spend the whole day thinking about it. Oh, so-and-so doesn't like me. Or I could get really upset, angry, furious. That was his name. He was furious. Okay, I could be furious. I could be that end of the spectrum. Or I could cry. I was so sad, so depressed. I could be all of those things. Now, I'm joking about this, but you all can relate to this, right? You all can relate to this. You've all experienced when somebody has said something to you that was mean, nasty, hurtful, cutting, generally not pleasant. Yes? Okay, great. All right. So steadfast means it's like water on a duck's back. I am not shaken. I'm not easily moved. I'm just, because why? If I centered my mind and implanted those truths in my heart, which is I am
blessed,
thank you, I am
chosen,
I am predestined, I am made accepted, okay, that's great, and I'm made for the to the praise of His glory, okay? So if I have centered my mind, I've implanted these into my heart, so what? Somebody says they don't like me wearing red lipstick or something. Red looks awful on you guys, you should never wear red ever again. Oh, I'm going to think about that for a whole week now. You know, right? But if I know all these things, so what? Okay, I won't wear red in front of you. Oh. I'm just throwing out an example, right? Okay, this is probably a very flimsy example. But you get the drift, right? If I'm centered on these things, I'm not going to be shaken by what people say. I'm not going to let it affect me. I'm not going to spend a whole week. Just imagine, Satan is laughing away. He goes, ah. I got her discouraged, you know. She's not going to read her Bible for another week now. He just, you know. But this is the way we act. I'm talking to myself, right? Thinking these things. I have a tendency, right, of this, and this did happen to me once. I was, when I first started my, two jobs ago, so two roles ago, I first started in, I had this big meeting that I had to deliver. And, first job, I'm young, like the youngest out of everybody there, and I'm supposed to rally the troops, I'm supposed to align them, I'm supposed to get them, you know, inspired so that they can write a great business plan, and I'm supposed to pull it all together, right? Except that they only have 2 weeks to do it for me, which is not a very popular thing to tell people, you only got 2 weeks to do this. Anyway, so I ran this meeting, and the meeting was like a train that just went off the railroad, and it was disastrous, like devastation, utter devastation, crash, burn, you know. So, like, it was not very good. You know, people stood up in the middle of the meeting, said all these things, and I'm like, you know. And I had no management support for that meeting as well. So after the meeting, I was like, oh, man, I failed, I flunked. I should not be in this role. I should never do this again. See, all these thoughts. You see that? And then in my mind, I was replaying the events over and over and over and over again, thinking, if that would have happened to me again, what would I say? What would I do? Because I'm the kind of person who doesn't think very good on their feet. You know, so I could have done some things, but at that moment, because it caught me by surprise, and I didn't quite expect them to react the way that they did in the meeting, you know, so I played in my mind, you know, what would I say next time or what would I do? And you know, you can relate to what I'm saying, but you just replay the events over and over in your head, and you just, it's almost like a video recorder, all right? Okay, yeah, so when we do that, Satan is like having a party going, ha 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 ha, right? Because I have just, you know, successfully got that person discouraged and down because I'm just thinking these thoughts, negative, right? Oh, I'm a failure. I'll never make it. It's just awful. You know, and then I'll just, you know, and then I don't get any breakthrough or any victory. Why? Because I'm thinking these thoughts over and over again. It's just replaying in my mind. All right? So I need to be steadfast, grounded in the truth of what God says. Right? I need to think His thoughts, not my thoughts. Not the thought that the devil puts into my head. Right? So that I can experience breakthrough. Not moved away from the hope of the gospel. So those redemptive truths that we just went through, those are just some redemptive truths. We don't have time to go through all of them. But if I center my mind, implant these into my heart, nothing that happens to me, even bad meetings, mean people, nasty things, are not going to affect me. Because I am centered on God's truth. I know who I am in Christ. That doesn't mean that there's nothing I can do to improve. It just means that it's not going to bother me and get me down, right? And make me stay down, all right? Have you seen a, I'm going to say a buoy, and I think if you were in the U.S., you would say a buoy. All right, so it's like one of those things out in sea that, you know, and it's like a marker for where the ships can go in between or not, right? You know what they are? So Pastor Joseph talks about this, having a buoyant spirit. So think of that picture. If you're a visual person like myself, you can picture that in your mind, right? So no matter how high the waves, no matter how rough the seas, that boy is going to just boing, boing, as the waves come and crash and go, as the tides come and go, that thing is just going to stay afloat all the time. All right? So no matter what life, no matter what Satan throws at me, no matter what people say, no matter what happens to me, I am going to stay buoyant.
Yeah.
All right? Why? Because I have Jesus in me. I have the hope of the gospel in me. I have the helmet of salvation covering my mind. I know who I am in Jesus. I know what He has called me to do. I know what I can do. All right? We talk resurrection life. We talk about resurrection life. All right? What is resurrection life? Oh, this is not good. What is resurrection life? Throw out answers to me. Throw out any.
New life.
New life. Thank you. Hope. Thank you. What else? Faith. Thank you.
Abundant life.
Thank you. Resurrection life. The Holy Spirit is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same Holy Spirit that lives inside of me. It's not only the Holy Spirit that only lives in pastors. Right? Sometimes we think that. That's a thought too. Oh, I'm not strong enough. I'm not powerful enough. I'm not spiritual enough. Jesus never said that for some people they have more Holy Spirit because they're pastors, so they have special Holy Spirit, and you just have a little bit of Holy Spirit. No, Jesus never said that. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Holy Spirit inside of me. And because I have that same Holy Spirit, that power that raised Jesus from the dead, yeah. I can overcome any obstacle, I can overcome any challenge, yeah. any setback, any disappointment. None of those things are going to hold me down. Because I have the Holy Spirit which helps me be buoyant. Helps me to be resilient. Yeah. Resilience is the ability to bounce back from adversity. The ability to bounce back, so think of that boy on the waves. The ability to bounce back from hard times, challenges, obstacles, disappointments, setbacks, when things don't go the way we think or hope or plan. Resilience is the ability to bounce back. And we have resilience because of the Holy Spirit. Now, other people who don't know Jesus, I talk about resilience in the workplace, right? But they don't know Jesus. We know Jesus. We have the answer, which is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the ability, gives us the ability to be resilient. The Holy Spirit is living inside of us. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, let's go. So how can I be transformed? How do I renew my mind? We talked a little bit about some of that just then. So number one, I must recognize the wrong thought. Say with me, recognize.
Recognize
the wrong thought. I must recognize that it is, in fact, a wrong thought. Again, so how do we recognize our thoughts and listen to the words that you're saying? That's how you know what you're thinking. Recognize the wrong thought. Number two, I must reject it. Isaiah 55 tells us, let the unrighteous, so the wicked man forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Right? So when we all came to Jesus, we had to forsake our wrong thoughts that we had at the time in order to accept Jesus into our lives, which is the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. In order to accept the way, the truth, and the life, we had to forsake our own thoughts. Some of us had really wrong thoughts about what God is like. We had to forsake those in order to accept the truth. All right. So I must recognize, then I must
reject.
Very good. All right. So we learned this last week from Brother Dino. So I got to say these things, right? If I reject the thoughts, this is something that you can say. I rebuke you.
I rebuke you.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Get out in Jesus' name.
Get out in Jesus' name.
Oh, that was so good. That feels really good to say. Say it again one more time. I rebuke you.
I rebuke you.
Shut up.
Get out in Jesus'
name.
Get out in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, so when I recognize that it's a wrong thought, that it's not a wrong thought, so don't say shut up to each other, okay, by the way. Because shut up is about Satan speaking to you. Okay? So you're saying shut up to the devil because he's the one that's trying to control your mind. Okay? All right. So we recognize the thought and then we reject it. We speak to it. I rebuke you. Shut up and get out in Jesus' name. I will not have take any part in this plan, Satan. I am God's child and he has called me for a great destiny. I have a great hope. I have a great future. I'm not going to be bogged down with all this rubbish. Number three, so it's not enough to just say shut up all the time, right? And to rebuke. Okay, you gotta replace, okay? So the next one is replace. The first one is recognize.
Recognize.
Okay. Number two, what is it?
Reject.
Number three?
Replace.
Very good. So I must replace it with God's thoughts. And some of those thoughts we went through just then, right? Some of those redemptive truths, redemptive realities, I must think those thoughts, right? Because that's what God thinks about me. I cannot afford to think any other thoughts. If that's what God thinks about me, I must think those thoughts too. Amen? Okay, now the last one is, this is almost as important as all the other ones before, is repeat. Okay, say after me, repeat.
Repeat.
Okay, so number one, recognize.
Recognize.
Two, reject.
Reject.
Three, replace. Four,
repeat.
Very good. So I must repeat what God says. And when I repeat what God says about me, so which is, I am blessed, I am chosen, I'm predestined, I have been accepted into his family. When I say those words, those aren't my words. Those are God's words. That's what he says. I'm not making it up. So when I speak God's words, it's not actually my voice. Yeah, it sounds like my voice. But it's actually God's voice speaking through me because it's his words. Amen.
Amen.
And when God speaks, there is power.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Genesis 1, when he spoke the world and the world came to be. He spoke, let there be light, and there was light.
Mm.
Right? So when I speak these words, when I repeat what he says, he's already said these things. When I repeat it, then it comes to life. So when I repeat these words, when I say favor surrounds me as a shield, when I go in for this job interview, I'm going to have favor. When I say those things aloud, something happens in the atmosphere because I'm speaking his words, right? When I say, I am healed in Jesus' name. When I say, even though I'm feeling pain, I know I'm healed. I thank you, Jesus, that you've already healed my knee, my ankle, wherever it is you're feeling pain. I thank you, Jesus, that you've already healed me.
Yeah.
I thank you, Jesus, that I'm not feeling pain anymore. I am declaring what he has already said.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I am going to, and I'm going to experience the victory because I'm speaking it. I'm speaking it into being. Amen?
Amen?
So this is what God... What does God say about... So I must recognize.
Recognize.
I must reject. I must
replace.
And I must repeat. Amen. Very good. Okay. So all of these things here, right? I might say all these things, but this is... We're not going to go through all of this, but God actually says any negative thought that you can think of, God has already an answer for you. All of it's in the scripture. Every promise is yes and amen. Let's not be bogged down with negative thoughts. Amen? Amen. So that's about me. So what does God say about us though? Us as Evangel Christian Fellowship. Us. What does God say about us? We will win. That's it. We will win. Why? Because
we believe what the word of God says about
who we are, what we have, and what we can do in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's say that one more time with real conviction this time, because it is our confession, and when we speak it, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's in the air.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're declaring, we are serving notice to the enemy that we already have the victory. Alright? So we're sounding it out. Alright? We're reminding the devil that he's already defeated. Amen?
Yeah.
So let's start. 1, 2, 3. We will win because we believe what the word of God says about who we are, what we have, and what we can do in Christ Jesus. Amen. Walk and agree with what God says. Amen. All right. What else does God say about us? He says this. He says this for 2018. That 2018 is our year. Our year to experience acceleration. Our year to see all these things come to pass in a way that we have never ever imagined before. So I like to do this. I did this with my life group. What I did was in front of, so on the left hand side, we put I in front of it. So we will say, I am a strategic, and if you're a woman, you say woman. If you're a man, you're a man. Okay, so I am a strategic woman of stature. And the next one, I am positioned in prophetic precision. And the last one is, I will create significant moves. Okay, so let's try saying this all together one more time, just the way that I said it just then. 1, 2, 3. I am a strategic woman of stature. I am positioned in prophetic precision. I will create significant moves. Amen. All right, let's say the right hand side together. 1, 2, 3. The heavens are open for spirit demonstration, empowering his people to do an unbreakable work. Amen. Amen. So I have to see that this year in 2018, God, wherever God has put me, I am that strategic person. I don't have to question where it is that I am, because I am positioned in prophetic precision. Right? And I know that because I carry the power of the Holy Spirit, the same power raise Jesus from the dead, I will create significant moves. When I speak his word, when I think his thoughts, and repeat what he already says. Amen?
Amen.
And we are going to see a shift in 2018. We're going to see an acceleration in our spiritual growth. And we're going to see the fulfillment of everything that you have been waiting for. Loved ones that we have been waiting for to come into the kingdom. We are going to see them come into the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Because we will create significant moves. They will respond in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for the words that you have spoken to us. Father, I just come against every spirit of discouragement in Jesus' name. I command you to leave in Jesus' name. Every negative thought, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I say shut up and get up in Jesus' name. And I say, I activate, Lord, your precious redemptive truths and realities into our minds. Let us be a people that will be centered on these truths, that we will implant them into our hearts, that we will not be shaken, we will not be moved, we will not be pulled down, we will not be bogged down, but rather we will be a victorious people. We will be overcomers because the word that you have spoken to us. I declare this morning that we are a strategic people of stature, that we are positioned in prophetic precision, and that we will, Evangel Christian Fellowship, will create significant moves in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you for what you are doing in our lives. We are hopeful. We are anticipating what you are going to do the rest of 2018, because we know that you are a good God and that all your plans for us are good.
Yes.